Today on The Balanced Word.
When junk accumulates, you've got to get rid of it before you do anything else. They could have just said, well, let's just throw some sacrifices up and then we'll worry about cleaning out the junk. But cleaning out the junk comes first, because that's what happens when we neglect. You know, as he has said, you've been negligent there in verse 11. When we neglect our walk with the Lord for a while, or even when we don't think about cleaning things up, we end up, it's amazing how much stuff can accumulate in our lives. And so God wants all of us to be looking at our lives, everything in them, and saying, is there anything extra here?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It's true that we can have too much stuff and it can get in the way. Perhaps you heard about the man who said to his neighbor, who had just moved out into the country, he said, if you need anything, come see me and I'll show you how to get along without it. Well, if what we have gets in the way of the worship of God, that's a problem. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll be reminded of the open door we have to God and the steps we can take and help others take to enter into that open door. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, here's Pastor Dave Rall.
Chapter 29, 2 Chronicles, as we spent quite a bit of time in this chapter on Sunday morning. If you weren't there, you can get the tape or the CD of that. Hezekiah becomes king. His father had been a bad king, Ahaz, and Hezekiah was a really good king. In fact, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 29, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, or she was called Abby over in 2 Kings. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Some of the earlier kings who were good were said to have done good, and they did what was right, and they did what, say, someone earlier like Uzziah had done. But when they say that he did what David had done, it shows something, that a little extra goodness, but also that there was a real heart there, because David was really known for his heart. And so Hezekiah was a man, though he made some mistakes, some really fatal mistakes towards the end of his life, which is typical of the kings of Judah. Even the ones who start out well tend to mess up towards the end. And that's a warning for us as we get older as well. But he was basically a good king, and we saw on Sunday how the first thing he did was, we need to get things cleaned up. And so there in verse 3, it says that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And ultimately, opening the doors and repairing the doors to the house of the Lord is one of the most important things that we can do. It's what God has always wanted his people to know, is that the door is open. And so often, for them, the symbol of the door being closed, there's no communion with God. And so the way we communicate with people, the way we live our lives, ought to pass off a message to people that the door is open to God. All too often, Christians have communicated in such a way that, well, it sounds like the door's closed to you. God isn't really interested in you. What you've done has cut you off. And though that may be true, the door is open and God always wants people to come to him. That's the whole idea of why he sent Jesus for us. It's the whole idea of why he chose Israel and desired to bless them. And so it's a helpful reminder to us that one of the most important things that we can do for someone else is to open the doors of the house of the Lord to them. It's one of the reasons why it's great to be involved in evangelism and to be involved in missions, because if you have that opportunity to open a door that way to someone, there's no higher privilege in the world than to be able to do that. So they did. They opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And sometimes there's some reparation that needs to take place as damage has been done in different places in the name of the Lord, and people have been hurt. And so important for us to step in and repair that breach. Every time you find someone who's a little bitter or who's been burned by a church or let down by a pastor, it's an opportunity again. The doors need to be repaired. And so to build those bridges, so important. And so he brought the priests in and told them to sanctify themselves, to go through the cleansing, to prepare themselves for ministry. And as we saw on Sunday, they had trespassed and done evil, and they were paying the price. But the bottom line is in verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, Hezekiah said, "Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." So it was in his heart to say, let's make things right. Let's make a covenant with the Lord. Let's commit ourselves, promise to begin to walk right with him and to clean up the damage that's been done. And then the verse that we focused most of our attention on Sunday, verse 11, a great verse, "My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him," or to take a stand for him, to serve him, "and that you should minister to him and burn incense." And we talked about how important it is to understand that God chose you for a purpose, and you need to take a stand, and as well as serving him, being willing to do things for him, and then ministering to him, just worshiping him personally, and then the ministry of prayer, the burning of incense. And so the Levites went ahead and went through this, and it says in verse 15, they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. That's just on the east side of Jerusalem. It runs through the valley that is between the Mount of Olives and the east wall of Jerusalem. And there was a valley in there that was like a dump. There's a Muslim cemetery there today, among other things. But they just took all this stuff out and took it to the dump. And it says, they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day, they came to the vestibule, and it took them another 8 days to get the temple ready for worship. And in verse 18, they came to Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with its articles, the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we've prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord." So preparing to relate to God once again and conduct the sacrifices that were necessary. And again, the whole key thought that you need to remember on the first part of this chapter 29 is that when junk accumulates, you've got to get rid of it before you do anything else. They could have just said, well, let's just throw some sacrifices up and then we'll worry about cleaning out the junk. But cleaning out the junk comes first, because that's what happens when we neglect, you know, as he has said, you've been negligent there in verse 11. When we neglect our walk with the Lord for a while, or even when we don't think about cleaning things up, we end up, it's amazing how much stuff can accumulate in our lives. And so God would have us all to go back to square one. And again, I won't preach Sunday's message all over again. I'll spare you that. But God wants all of us to be looking at our lives, everything in them, and saying, is there anything extra here? It's so funny. It's so often that when we feel a lack in our lives, when we feel like something's missing, invariably we look for something to add to our lives. I feel kind of empty, so maybe if I take on this, or maybe if I start that, or maybe if I get into this, it will add. The truth is, I think almost always, it's not that there's something missing from our lives. It's that the debris and the garbage has piled up within our lives. It's that we've already taken on things that aren't conducive to restoring that relationship with the Lord. And I would suggest to you that for the most part, if you allow at least a few days for the newness to wear off, you'll almost always feel better about getting rid of stuff than you will about purchasing stuff. You know, there's certainly a buyer's or seller's remorse either way. But when you make a big purchase, you're so excited about it. And then within sometimes hours, often if it's a house before escrow even closes, all of a sudden you feel like, oh, this is a burden. Did I do the right thing? Did I make, ooh, that's a lot of money. And quite often when we buy things, we'll end up regretting that we did. I think back on your life and say, when was the last time you added something to your life and then it turned out to be a real blessing? There are some, certainly. But almost every time when you get rid of stuff, it's like it's so nice to have that out of the way. It's so nice to have a little extra room in my life. And so for all of us, it's something that I think if something's missing in your life, first be suspicious that maybe there's just some stuff you need to get rid of. It might be things that are dragging you down, but it might just be things that are weighing you down, over-obligating you. It can be really simple things or it can be really good things. And yet I always want to be open to the Lord just saying, you know what, that, it's time to go. It's time to let go of it. I'm a very conservative person, and change comes difficult for me often. I'm also a person who wants to help people, so I'm constantly open to taking on extra burdens. And the Lord is just teaching me, there are some good things in my life, but they're a part of my past, and I just have to let go of them. At the same time, there are things in the future where I could really be a big help, and it's very close to my heart. Because I'm a sensitive person. I have a pretty big heart for a lot of different things. But God's teaching me, just because you care about that doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because it needs to be done, it doesn't mean it's your job to do. And so for all of us, I think the Lord, if we could train ourselves to do this, sometimes just to let go of something for a little while just to see if you really need it, to just lay off of, you know, TV for a period of time, or just to decide, you know, I'm going to go another year with this car before I replace it, or I think this house will do me for a while, or, you know, this relationship, it seems like when I'm around this person, it just kind of pulls me down. So maybe I'll kind of fast from that relationship or that activity. And often we're really surprised what we can do without. And again, I suspect that more of the lack in our lives is because we've crowded our lives than because we don't have something that we ought to have. And so as the Levites were here at the instructions of Hezekiah, so we would do well to create some space in our lives. God wants us to live spaciously. He doesn't want us to be crowded and in a hurry and pressed and pressured. That's not the life that we're physically designed, emotionally designed to handle, but it's also really not the way God gets his work done. And so we see that lesson. It starts with getting rid of stuff. It starts with a purging. You know, the word purge is a word that just means to clean. But we have turned the word into something that means throw out the junk. It's the same idea. It's the same thing. It's what we need to do. So now after that's somewhat taken care of, the house of the Lord is cleaned up and the foundation for worship has been laid. After you get rid of a lot of the junk, then they move into the actual worship there in the temple. And it says in verse 20 that King Hezekiah got up early, got all the rulers together, and brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary. And so he told the priests to get the stuff going and to kill these animals and to begin to atone, to begin to worship. And verse 25, he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, verse 27, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, the king of Israel. So all the assembly worshiped, the singers sang, the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And so, in verse 30, he commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. It was time to worship God. It was time to show God what they felt he was worth. The way was cleansed by that consecration. And so for us, you don't dive right into worship necessarily. Sometimes there are just some things that need to be done before you're even free to worship. I think a lot of times we try to worship, but the truth is we're distracted and we're burdened down by some of the things that need to go. Some of the decisions, tough decisions in our lives that we need to make. And if we don't put that purging out of the junk first, then often that's a sign, our worship being frustrating is a sign that, whoops, maybe you better back up a little. Has the consecration, the purging been done? But if the purging has been done, then from a willing heart to make those sacrifices for God, and some of it is maybe looking back on what he made us sacrifice earlier in the chapter. The things that he told us, it's time for you to let go of those things. And then we realize, boy, it feels good to obey God. It feels so good to be free. And out of that freedom comes worship. The sacrifice doesn't even seem like it's you being sacrificed. It's the things being sacrificed. And as it was for them, so it is with us too. When worship feels like a really tough sacrifice, that's indicating that there's something else in our life that's a little out of perspective. And again, it may send us back to saying, is there something else I'm hanging on to that I shouldn't hang on to? Because when worship is done the way it's supposed to be done, it's the most natural outflowing that comes from what God is doing in our lives. See, if you see how good it feels to get rid of rubbish in your life, to remove excess and to clean things out and to create some space, then further sacrifice feels like it's no big deal because you already have learned it feels good to let go of things. There are some people who have gone through experiences in their life where they had a lot and then they lost it. And almost invariably, if those people are Christians and they submit to the Lord, they'll look back and say, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. It was something that was good for me to lose that stuff because it frees me up now to, I have so much more freedom than when I had the burden of all that stuff. I remember when I was investing money in commodities and stock options. And it's a real roller coaster ride, takes a lot of concentration. It's exciting. It's gambling is what it is. But I was making a lot of money and things were going really well. And we were able to buy our first house. And as we were working on the house, I ignored the stock market for a few days. And it felt really good not to be chained to those numbers and figures and watching my little handheld machine that picked up stock prices over radio waves. It felt good not to have that. In fact, what happened, we had taken our kids to Disneyland and I was on a roller coaster checking stock prices and I just thought, this is too ridiculous. So I just go, forget it. I'm going to put it away. We've got this new house that we bought that's a complete dump. Talk about rubbish. I filled Calvary Chapel's trash truck either 3 or 4 times from stuff that was left at that house. It was amazing. But during that time, I just thought, you know what? God blessed us with this house, and I'm going to work on it, and I'm not going to worry about my investments. Well, Black Monday hit, the biggest drop in stock market history, and I lost a fortune. But you know what? I never once have looked back. Ann has a few times, but I've never looked back and thought, oh, if I had just paid attention. Oh, what I could do with that money that I lost then. It was a really large amount of money for me, more than I would make in a couple of years. But I've never once regretted it because it felt so good to have that monkey off my back. And here I knew God just blessed me long enough for us to be able to buy a house. And then that was it. Then I had to get back to ministry. I had to get back to what I'm really called to do. And I'm not a financier. I'm not a professional investor. I enjoy doing that, but I enjoy it too much. And so I've made the choice personally to avoid that. I don't do it. I was good at it, but it was in the way. And I really look at the money that I lost in that stock market crash as being a blessing. It's something that I would happily sacrifice in order to be blessed by God. I'd rather serve God and be useful to Him than to have all the money in the world, to be able to compound whatever it is I have and really clean up. It means nothing to me anymore. And today, if something happens and I lose some money, or today if I look at, ooh, I could have done that or I should have done that, really doesn't matter. Because when in a certain area of your life, when you begin to accept sacrifice, it frees you up. It keeps you from being jealous of what other people have also, because you already know it doesn't mean anything. And so they did these sacrifices and they just began to worship God, to show Him that they'll happily give up anything for Him. For us, worship is so much of what our life is supposed to be about. Again, it's not just a little time to sing some songs. That's a part of worship. But worship is how we live our lives. Worship is how we give of ourselves. When we give our time, when we give our money, when we give of our heart, when we allow ourselves to be wounded in order for someone else to benefit, in order for someone else to grow. When we allow ourselves in ministry to be vulnerable and then to realize, man, this takes a lot out of me. Boy, this is a very demanding thing. It's a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice of worship.
Sacrifice is a necessary part of worship. Pastor Dave Rolfe concluding our time together with the larger view of what worship of God is to be. We'll get back to him in just a moment as the balanced word continues. We're at the tail end of a study in 2 Chronicles. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Again, thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Now to help us go deeper in our worship of God, here's Pastor Dave once again.
And whatever it is that God has called you to, when you're in those days when it really hurts and it's difficult and it's costing you and it scares you, remember, God's worth it. You can do it as worship to Him. And though it may get frustrating, often, whatever it is that God has called you to, though it may be a hurdle to get over and though it may stress you out, give it to God. The best time is when you're exhausted, when you just think, I can't go on. And then you pick yourself up and you raise your hands to heaven and you go, but God, you're worth it. So I'm going to keep going a little bit more. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep offering myself to you. Those are the times when the blessings of God are just around the corner. It's a privilege and a blessing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to sacrifice for God. Now, in my heart, truth be told, I wish my life was always easy. I wish I didn't ever have to go through those painful experiences. I wish I didn't ever have to lose anything. I mean, it feels much better to stay above it all. But I've learned over the years that it's when the pain kicks in that the sacrifice is really starting. And if I will allow that to happen, I'm entering into deeper worship with God than I ever could have if I'm on top of the world. And so as Hezekiah is leading the people to reform, one of the greatest revivals in the history of Israel that happens here, he starts by cleaning things out. Let's cut back. Let's downsize. And then he says, now it's time to worship. Now this is where, when it gets to be a sacrifice, this is where the rubber meets the road.
We'll pick up where we left off in 2 Chronicles next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my